Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yotis Be the Sportive, episode 327, I think. The whole crew is here. We've got John. Hi, John.
Brandon, hello.
Hello, we've got Stu and every single person in his apartment building meeting in the back of the party room. That's a very high quality microphone. It's picking up everything.
You know where, you know, it's from Best Buy, one of my favorite retailers, probably the top five retailer, honestly.
It's a fantastic retailer.
It's an artistic choice to record in the middle of a real estate conference. Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. How did you know? Oh, goodness. Anyway, good to be here, guys.
Getting roped into a timeshare and recording a podcast at the exact same time. That's incredible. And Chicken Finger 69 is also in the house. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fuckers?
What is up? Okay, so we're recording this Tuesday evening. I have no idea what's going to happen with... we're going to start with the Twins. I have no idea what's going to happen with this team, potentially even while we're recording. But we are essentially right now in what I think we all hope is baseball purgatory.
Right.
So they brought in a win now move with Sonny Gray, the pitcher, and got rid of a very highly coveted first round pick. So that felt good. I think we all felt that was promising. At least they're trying to win. And then they immediately got rid of good players and brought in bad players to get rid of a bunch of payroll. They went down like $40 million or something. And so now we're not sure what to believe. The smart people, not us, smarter people than us, immediately deduced if that's all happening and they're clearing the deck, they're going to be bringing in a couple more studs to win now. We would never have traded away our glorious, beautiful first round pitcher in order to rebuild. This happened like 2 days ago, and we have now been on pins and needles and nothing else has happened. Is that fair and right?
That's all correct.
Correct.
Okay, so I want to know your reaction I think there's a few scenarios to play out. And I think I'm pretty sure what the reaction is for the scenario one, but I'm going to ask Chicken. Scenario one is nothing else happens. We rage, right?
Yes. Well, yes.
Yeah.
What would be another option? Like, you either rage or you just stop caring.
This would be it. This would be the most asinine, insane thing we have ever heard.
It's not, oh, it's fine. No, I understand. A $90 million payroll is fine.
$90 million and a less one draft pick. So it's kind of shitty in both directions in that regard. That's an 0 for 2.
That would not. So they would have gotten worse at catcher, gotten worse at third base. Yeah. We don't know who the shortstop. They do not have a shortstop. I guess Polanco would be a shortstop? Question mark.
I
think
that new Yankee guy who sucks. He doesn't really play shortstop, though, right?
Well, he's at third, I thought.
Yeah. Well, people say, well, he's willing to play shortstop. Well,
so am I.
The difference, if it's the difference between having a job or not having a job, of course he's willing to play shortstop.
I don't think he's very good at it. And they got a better starting pitcher, but they reduced payroll by $40 million, like you said. No, rage would be the only option.
The only option. This
or apathy. As a Timberwolves fan, apathy. I can't stress enough that both anger and apathy are legitimate choices.
Right. Yeah.
That's they would true. Not deserve. They have not earned the benefit of the doubt. In any way, after 40 years or whatever it's been of this.
Well, what was their last good move? re-signing Nelson Cruz the second time around?
That's a great question. This front office's last good move.
I thought signing Donaldson was a good move, but that was 2 years ago, three years ago?
It's Nelly Cruz.
It didn't work out.
I mean, originally I thought it was a good move.
The Josh Donaldson didn't work out.
Well, I guess if you want to package up the idea of trading Berríos away, getting two stud prospects, and then trading one prospect and getting basically José Berríos back, essentially, they're very similar, almost the same pitchers. You can talk yourself into something being good there. But again, you'd kind of have to explain it in a complicated way, which is not a great sign if you're really like, if you add this up, we kind of traded this guy for that guy. I don't know. I mean,
you could also ignore that Berríos is now under contract for like 7 years with Toronto, whereas Sonny Gray has 1 year left on this contract.
And again, Berríos is very good. Yeah. We like good players. We'd like them on our team.
Michael, I do.
I would love both.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. That'd be great. Yeah, I don't like that at all. So, and we got rid of two catchers who were serviceable for one catcher who might not even be a catcher anymore. I think he might be a DH. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, correct.
Well, I mean, let's be fair to Gary Sanchez. He cannot field. It's well known that he's a terrible fielding defensive catcher. But over the last 4 years, he also can't hit. He's been in a slump since 2017.
That's fair.
He got COVID-17. And it's just really affected him for the last 4 years.
He's a trendsetter.
And I hate him. I just hate Gary Sanchez so much. I've hated him forever. I hate him now. I hate that he's on. My hope when they were wheeling dealing the other night was that they traded for Gio Underwear and Sanchez. And I was hoping that they would immediately flip Sanchez for, you know, or buy
Sounds
him
like
out
they're trying.
Or whatever.
Sounds like they're trying, Jonathan.
Like in the NBA, if you traded for Gary Sanchez, the immediate thing would be you would buy him out.
He's not on the team. He's never going to suit up for us. Yeah. Okay. So, John, I'm going to represent, I'm just going to pretend.
Gary Sanchez's mom.
No. that's your job, John. You know that you're the mom role player. I am going to, just for shits and giggles, represent a fan who has not been paying a ton of attention to baseball last year or maybe even the year before.
Right.
I'll just pretend that's me just for fun. And
you're representing what we call the chicken fingers.
That's me. You're me.
Wings exactly, of the Twins right? fan base. Yeah.
So yeah. When I first saw we traded Donaldson away for Gary Sanchez and Gio Underwear, as you called him, I was like, hey, I know those two names. I wonder if they're awesome. And I was kind of excited. And then I went and looked and I was like, oh my God, they're both pretty bad. They're not good at baseball anymore. This is a complete salary dump. I had no idea because I hadn't been paying that close of attention. So I was briefly like curious, at least like my curiosity peaked. And now I'm back into getting ready to rage. Like I'm just sharpening the knives, just getting ready. I'm doing push-ups, little pump.
It's just, it's extremely strange to start out looking at the roster and going, all right, what we really need, we need a lot of pitching, but we also don't have a shortstop. And then on day one, you trade for a shortstop, an unarguable deal, but at least an understandable one. And then by the next day, you don't have a shortstop. You have maybe the worst of the four potential catchers that you could have had starting back on day zero. You have a third baseman that's probably the third best third baseman in your farm system now. It's not even like everyone talks about, well, this is like a dollar for three quarters kind of trades, but it's not even, it's like trading a dollar for a baseball card of Rick Williams from the Brewers in 1986. It has no value and no redeeming quality of any kind.
But the card says fuckface on it, so you're probably
that is good
shape there.
Okay, so that's scenario one. We agree to rage. Scenario two, that also it seems more. I don't think that scenario one seems as cynical as even we are. I just right now I can't buy that they're that incompetent. I know that they're not great, but not so far. That seems like an absolute unbelievably bad swing. How about scenario two, Stu? What if we sign Trevor Story and that's it? And that's it. That was the big move. We're not raging at that point, right?
I think you're at least you don't have the Molotov lit, but you have the bottle packed with oil and rags. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I mean then your shortstop is taken care of. You're good. And you clearly have the money to make that move, but you still have one starting pitcher and a bullpen that is empty. So you still have a lot of needs left, even with a very good shortstop. So I'm not raging, but I'm prepared to rage. I am on the precipice. I'm on the precipice.
The precipice,
if you will. And I will.
You will. You will. I think that sounds right for me too. And I don't know who it was on Twitter, but a lot of folks were like, well, this is all leading to getting Trevor Story. And the point was, okay, like that's good. He's great. But that's not every, like, should
and
not
also
be
not
everything.
The only ones trying to get him. There's right. Somebody could like blow him away with an offer. It's not a given that the Twins are going to get him.
Which is so and insane to plan? Me. Why would you do this deal unless you were completely positive?
Unless they were so, I mean, they could not have been that desperate to get rid of Josh Donaldson's salary. There's
it makes no sense. He's not making $80 million a year.
No,
like it's.
And I mean, obviously, as a card carrying liberal, I love Hamilton, the musical. So I'm glad they're giving Lin-Manuel's cousin a chance.
That's great.
Because he's going to get his shot.
He deserves it.
God damn it. I'm sorry. I don't even like musicals. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it. I don't see why they were trying to get rid of Donaldson's salary like that. I don't get that part of it. And again, if Story was a done deal, the deal should be done, right? It's been 48 hours.
Too long. It's been too long. Yeah. Okay, so we are in scenario one, full on rage. Scenario two, rage precipice. Scenario
rage
three,
precipice, yes.
Rage precipice. John, scenario three, we get Trevor Story and we swing another couple prospects for a half decent number three starter or something, like another good immediately slot him into the rotation.
Which prospects?
Yeah.
Is it Austin Matthews or whatever the hell that
Austin no Martin, if Austin Matthews for? Is involved, we rage again unless we get a full number one. Like this is like our 11th best prospect for like a Sonny Gray light trade.
I don't have the actual names. I'm only bringing it up. It's not a joke. I guess I do mean it. The prospects matter, right? I mean, if they could go land somebody right now, if they're willing to give up 1, 2, and 3 in their system,
mm-hmm.
If they can land a number two starter, a number three starter, without giving up their 1 or 2 or 3 guys,
is that what you want? You want us to get after it?
I'm just laying the groundwork for John to either be happy or sad or indifferent or horny. I don't, I mean, you can be
so many things. Yeah.
There's so many emotions.
Horniness is absolutely possible.
John, if we get Montas from the A's, how horny would you be?
Not that.
You're old. You're an old dad. I get it. Yeah.
Thrill is gone.
Barely aroused, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, it's they have so few pitchers and so many pitching prospects that
mm-hmm.
if they had said, all right, we've got a billion pitching prospects, we're going to try some of them out this year. Even I don't think trading for Sonny Gray would be a good move in that scenario. They keep saying, oh, Sonny Gray's a real competitor. He knows how to compete out on the mound.
Bulldog.
He goes out there and he takes a giant bite out of the baseball to start every game. And it really Gamer. Sets a great example for all the young players, you know, all this stuff, whatever. Sonny Gray's now the deputy pitching coach or whatever. That's fine. I don't think that's a good reason to trade a number one pick for Sonny Gray, but at least you could understand it. At least it makes sense. But to then follow it up with this bewildering series of moves to potentially shed salary or have worse players, I don't see how any of that helps.
Mm-mm.
That part doesn't make any sense. And if you're going to go ahead and dump those guys so that you can free up salary in your self-imposed salary cap to go sign Trevor Story, then how, if you're willing to give in all this money to shortstop, how come they signed none of the available free agent starting pitchers? Wouldn't that have been a better use for money than Trevor Story?
Yes.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Mm-mm. Nope. They can save it if they pull off, obviously, signing Trevor Story. There's not even any other pitchers to sign at this point that are any good. So making a couple other trades and ending up with three good pitchers in Trevor Story, then I'm back in. But again, if it costs us Austin Matthews, that's not good.
But I mean, the thing that strikes me is there's still, like you say, they're four more trades away from having the fourth best starting rotation in the AL Central. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because right now, boy, it's Sonny Gray. It's Bailey Ober.
Mm-hmm.
Joe John Ryan, Alan Anderson,
and Samuel Deduno, just throwing those frisbees out there. You laugh now, but
Willie Banks
is coming back.
If Dylan Bundy is on the table, Sam fucking Deduno is on the table.
I totally forgot that they signed Dylan Bundy.
He's legitimately he's one of the five guys, and then it's like Randy D, we got Dobnak, or we got,
bullpen by committee.
Holy
shit. Bundy was the fifth best starter on a team that was trying so hard to lose that they considered setting their own stadium on fire during games to try to distract players.
And it's March 15th, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have much time to figure this out. It's such a confusing.
They had the lockout, but it wasn't like they pushed the season back. Oh, and now it starts May 1st. You guys got a month and a half to figure this out.
Right.
No, it starts like a week later.
Yeah. Everyone's dealing with the same season start as they are. They're just the ones who had no pitching.
So there are there are dudes like in training camp right now, right? They're like playing long toss, and then someone will be like, hey, come over here. You got to go over to Arizona now. We just traded you like in the middle of spring training, right? Isn't that like, because I saw the trade for, I don't know if it was one of whoever we've traded for, like immediately was in the Twins dugout. Just crazy shit, man. But we got to keep going. We got to get more guys. This is, and I also was confused at the projections that came out. I don't know if you saw FanGraphs had the Twins at 80 wins and Baseball Reference had us at 84 wins. And I briefly considered looking into how in the fuck they think we're going to win any games at all with this pitching staff. And I flew into a blind rage and wasn't able to actually go check. But I'm very confused at how they think this pitching staff is going to get them even to 65 wins. I don't know. They must be very bullish on, again, Ober and Joe John Ryan, who like had a couple good starts, but they're not like the 2 and 3 starters.
The other thing to remember is they might be two starters short of being a legitimate major league team, but they also need five relief pitchers.
Yeah. It's important to remember that their bullpen is just as bad.
Absolute garbage.
I'm not even going to embarrass myself by trying to come up with names in the bullpen. I'll just admit it. I don't know who's in the bullpen.
Check your mailbox, Brandon. You might be one of them.
Yeah, I'd say.
It looks like your house, but are you doing this call from Fort Myers? Because
I've been doing a lot of lat pull downs just in case. You never know. Oh God. Ugh. Okay, so we're agreed. I think Rage Precipice seems to be the mood for all of this.
Right.
Buxton is healthy.
God, that's good. I am really excited and hopeful about Buxton this year. So I'm really worried that the next injury is going to be really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really worried about that. But yeah, that is my cause for optimism this year, is that I think he feels like he's set up to have a monster year, which is also why I'm scared, because I don't trust my feelings and my emotions right now.
No,
because you're from Central Minnesota.
Because I am from Central Minnesota.
Lin-Manuel Miranda might be a really a stud, so that's positive. He was very good last year.
Yeah, he hit the hell out of the ball wherever he went. So that's really positive. And
you know what my favorite thing about Lin-Manuel Miranda is? He not only is he an amazing hitter, he looks like the baseball players of my youth that smoked a lot of cigarettes and didn't go to the weight room that often because it was just going to make him bulky. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Bulk was bad for a few years there. And then it was very good.
He just is sort of he's a 1980s baseball player looking guy, and I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not quite at the level of Williams Astudillo, but on that level.
Those are the only two positives I can come up with right now for the entire team. I mean, I'm scared for Joe John Ryan and Bailey Ober because they were good. They were very promising last year. That can't continue. You know, there's no way that we hit on both those guys this year. That's scary to me. Same with Polanco, who's so good, worries me. Can't do that twice.
You know, I also want to mention something that my brother said the other day. He just sort of casually referred to the curse of Greg Gagne for the Twins at shortstop. Mm. And it made me realize that other than for like Christian Guzman for about 3 months in 2001, yeah, it's just been a never ending series of underperforming Twin shortstops.
Oh,
my God.
Just terrible.
Well, like what about
Hardy was an amazing baseball player, and then he came to Minnesota and he hit 150 that year.
And then they traded him, and he like was putting up MVP numbers for 3 years. Yeah. And we had Jim Hoey. Everyone remember Jim Hoey? I sure don't.
And some guy named Brett, like Brett Johnson or something.
Yeah. John Bretson, actually.
They brought in Adam Everett, who was a defensive wizard, and he immediately started making three errors a game.
Yeah,
he kept hitting 180. That's important. Kept hitting he had the consistency.
He's spelled the name wrong on his jersey. Or the,
2.5 feet
Minnesota
tall.
Minnesota wrong on his jersey.
He used a 19-inch bat.
Yeah, it was a mini bat.
No power. Who was the guy I hated the most?
Andrelton Simmons?
Yes, actually, you're right. He's number one for sure. I also did not like, was it Jose Castro, Juan Castro? Very smooth, but just sucked.
Yeah.
Just very smooth looking, but also ineffective. Tricked a lot of people into thinking he was good, you know?
There was Brendan Harris.
Oh, there man.
Was Brendan Harris. Oof. He was the poor man's Pete Florimone.
Oh, man. We got into the remembering some guys part of the podcast a lot sooner than I was expecting. I thought maybe it'd take us a few minutes, but here we are. Okay, I want to do a lightning round because we have other sports we need to get to. Ranking the rules. So I think let's go.
Recap for us the rules.
There are new rules in MLB this year. Some are coming up next year. I'm going to say it. I need you to give me a ranking from 6, which means totally flaccid, to 12, which is full on midnight. Rock hard. Okay. Boner rules. We'll go by the boner rules.
BRs.
Yeah, the BRs. All right, Chicken, you're up. Universal DH.
I don't know what that means. What does universal mean?
Oh, it means, yeah. Yeah.
Three.
Pointing backwards.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. I'd call somebody. All right. Well, sure.
It means I don't care.
It doesn't mean anything to us, obviously, but yeah. I think it'll make.
Why I don't care is because we've got the DH. We've had it since before I was born. I don't give two shits about the National League.
No.
So
I'm going to put an over under on the amount of time you spend watching the National League pre-playoffs. I'm going to say maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's like
while you're waiting for takeout, somehow randomly a Cubs game is on and you glance at it and you go, all right, cool. My food's
Capital One commercial. Maybe they have like some odd highlight in their promoted ad. Yeah.
Freddie Freeman is doing progressive or something. You're like, oh, okay.
That's it. Yep.
Drunk okay. In Wisconsin and the Brewers are on one of these things.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's the best.
Okay, Stu, you're up. Back to regular extra inning rules. The ghost runner is gone.
11.
Okay, that's good for you.
All right. I love.
Yeah, just play a normal game.
Yes.
It's just
the
it's so
stupidest
gimmicky.
Rule that baseball is
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, 11.
John, doubleheaders are 9 innings again.
Not applicable.
Did you know that they were 7 for a couple of years?
I
learned a lot reading through just the regular rules today, prepping for this. I was like, no shit. 7 inning doubleheaders. Why?
The thing was, I mean, there is like 2020, there were so many random things that happened that I couldn't keep track of them anymore. Like, you could have told me, oh, that year doubleheaders were 5 innings and all games were 7 innings. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, I think I remember that. I think I remember that every game was a 7 inning game that year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Not applicable is very fair. You're saying whatever position, whatever time it is beforehand is the same time after I learned that.
Right.
If I was 7:30, it's still 7:30.
Yeah, there's still right there.
There's no difference. Okay. Chicken. More playoff teams.
Negative.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So bad. 6 o'clock.
Negative 40.
Okay. Yeah. So let me, I don't even know if I have this right. So, nobody actually thinks we're right about any of this sort of stuff. So that's fine. Here's what I read, and I think it's true. There are 6 playoff teams per league. There used to be 5 with the play-in or whatever, that one game, whatever it was. So now there's 6. Sort of like old football rules where the top 2 seeds get byes, and then the other 4 teams play each other. The 4 teams who play each other, it's a best of 3 series where all 3 games are at the top seeds field. Did you guys know this? I was just fast. No, I had no idea. Stupid. This seems
this is so stupid.
It also,
I'm so tired
like,
of it.
We're like baseball it. Guys. None of us have any fucking clue. And this is a very important change.
Super important.
There
I don't,
is
it's huge.
There is a 162 damn game season.
It's 162 games.
And we're going to have 6 teams make the playoffs. This is.
And we like baseball. I love watching playoff baseball. I do not want more baseball.
No.
Stop. I am fully in favor of going back to no divisions. There are 15 teams in the AL, 15 teams in the NL,
yes.
And then we have the World Series between the top teams in each league.
Done.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's the Dodgers and Yankees every year. We have no chance, and I'm fine with it. Fine.
I'm That's fine with that.
Less hope would do us
better
good.
Better option.
Yeah, the thing is, the six playoff team really
cancel
means the Twins can get in.
We no longer have
Tommy
the World
Malone.
Series. I'm fine with it. This has gone too far.
Okay, so here's what happens. So the 2 bye teams. Best of 3, all home games.
Angry. I can't let you finish.
The only thing I like about that is I like all home games being in the top seed rather than having to the one, whatever. I like that a tiny bit. The next that now we're at 4, you know, because the winners go on. It's just a best of 5, and then it goes to best of 7 after that. So it's a 3 game, a 5 game, and a 7 game. The changing numbers makes me angry as well. I don't know why exactly. It's just too many numbers. I'm angry about that too. Okay, so
what I love is that after a 162 game season, if you have more randomness in the playoffs, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm really excited about that.
It's so shitty. It's really bad. Okay, so we all agree. That's a full-on 6 p.m. for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these other rules are, I think as I read it, Washington Post, they're not completely confirmed, but they most likely will be on a vote or something or other starting in 2023. So the following season. So when that happens, Stu, give me your time. Bigger bases.
What? why? Who cares?
Are
feet bigger now?
Bigger bases.
Are they running in clown shoes?
What's
like flopping around in like the flippers you have for scuba diving?
I have not heard this. What the fuck are you talking about? Bigger? Are you serious? It sounds like something like Skittles would like, oh, we're bigger.
It's a promotion. Like, yeah, just a funny commercial.
It's for for shoes. Honest,
what are they
you
trying
guys
to address?
You seem like, mad at me.
I am mad at you.
Why would you bring this up?
This is the, like in 300. Know this, messenger. A man's words counts for something.
Right
here, before you say what you're about to say, You will be held accountable.
Oh boy. Okay. So there's two things that they
I
say.
I just want to stop and say for a second. I'm impressed how well Chicken has the movie 300 memorized.
Fully memorized.
It's paraphrased.
Oh God. We just believed it. We're like, oh yeah, that's raw, word for word.
Like, man, that movie came out 20 years ago and he's just repeating this whole thing. Like, maybe he watches 300. That would actually explain a lot now that I'm thinking about it.
He said it with the confidence though that he knew every single word. Yeah. So we just were like,
wow, I spent all day doing that. That's all I do all day. I've got a lot of practice.
It's confidence.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. Just say it confident. Like a ref. That's what refs do. Just scream something. They're wrong. Yeah. But if you yell it, you look authoritative.
It does work. Okay, so there's two reasons that the bigger bases they think is going to make a little bit of impact. One, I think, makes sense, and one of them is really fucking stupid sounding. I'll start with the one that makes sense. One thing that fans have complained about is dudes with this new instant replay, break it down frame by frame bullshit, is that guys over slide over the base every once in a while. This will help them a little bit less likely.
You were wrong. That is stupid. That's a stupid reason. Well, don't slide so far.
This next one's going to be worse. They think that if you
build a monument for second base, instead of having a base, you can just have like a thing you can touch. You slide into second base, you're not over
one of those mats they put on the water when they like enter the boat.
Yeah. Rather than forcing them, telling them stop sliding so far, we are going to make the bases bigger.
Yeah,
but
or
it's
like
going to be much bigger. It's going to be like an inch bigger.
Or how about like somewhere? Don't have your instant replay break down like a fucking Zapruder film every stolen base. And yeah, how about that? But no, they didn't want to do that. And the other one is, so right now I think they're, don't quote me on this one, but I think they're like 12 inch wide bases. So actually, so the distance between bases is not 90 feet, it's 88 feet, right? Because they've got a foot. So they think if they go to like 18 inches, now the distance, stop, do not yell at me. Now the distance, we're on video for this call and you're mad. This is not me. What the people are saying, Brandon. What the people are saying, not Taco, not Poochie.
Watch yourself. Poochie's not saying it. What
the people are saying is that now if they make it 18 inch base, now the distance between the bases is not 88 feet. It is 87 feet. And if you take that, that means now guys are going to try to steal more bases.
Oh my God.
I don't know how to do the math, but like 88 to 87 feet.
1.1% closer or whatever.
1.1 is how I would generally do the math on that one. They think that 1.1% is the difference between, you know, the 80s when guys were stealing, they're attempting like four steals a game. And now when it's like seven steals a month or something, they think that 1% is going to get to the data, the scientist analytics nerds, the number crunchers, and it's going to make them decide now we have the incentive to try to steal more bases again. There's, you know, 1,000 ways to try to get guys to steal more bases. Right now they think 1 foot. Maybe they're right.
I remember back like two decades ago when Tiger Woods was first good at golf, there was a lot of discussion about courses like Augusta National, like for the Masters. All of a sudden, Tiger Woods is out there bombing drives and hitting like a pitching wedge into these par fives. And if baseball people ran Augusta National back then, they would have marched out to the famous 13th hole and taken the tee markers and moved them 2.5 feet farther back and been like, there we go. That'll do it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Nailed it.
Now let's see Tiger play this course.
We hacked the system. So, Stu, what's your vote?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why? I mean, this is so dumb. No,
when I first heard about making the bases bigger, I honestly thought it was like the softball base where you got the double base at first. Yeah. And nobody gets stepped on.
There. Yes. That's like, not it.
All right.
No. Yeah.
I don't remember people getting stepped on a lot, but at least it makes sense.
It doesn't fundamentally change the game really in any way.
Yeah, there have been some bad collisions at first base in the majors. Yeah, if they can get rid of that, that's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. No, these are all the bases.
Does it include home base? Like, this is a base, not a plate.
That base is not the plate. Plate's the same.
Yep. Yeah, because that impacts the strike.
I don't want to talk about this. same.
Yeah, this makes me so angry.
I honestly would I would have respected them more if the we lost Chicken.
Chicken literally just
getting meltdown
through the headset and just left.
Now he's slamming on highlights and he left.
He's had enough.
Oh man, just poor guy. Just walking. No one can see it. Oh, he did the chair spin. He did the chair spin.
If you're familiar with Dean Evason over the course of the Wild losing streak, that's basically what he's been doing the entire time.
Now, I would have respected them more if they made the bases like 3 feet wide. Just really go fucking whole hog. They went from 12 inches to 16 inches or 18 or whatever. They show a picture of it and they're like, they're so much bigger. I'm like, are you fucking nuts? No, they're not.
3 feet wide and 2 feet high. That's what I want.
That would have been like, okay, let's get nuts. You want to get weird? Let's get weird. No, they didn't get weird. They got mildly less normal. A tiny bit less normal. Okay, so we agree on that one too. John, the second to last one, then we'll move on. This was supposed to be a lightning round. Didn't work out.
The 45
minute lightning round at all, sir.
If I want to do lightning round, it should have been less stupid shit that I was trying to explain to you. Right. Where you'd go, fine. Let's move on.
I have an actual lightning round at the very end of this that I have developed here on the go, on the fly. We'll do a very quick lightning round that plays into one of Stu's proclivities. So go ahead. Let's finish this.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm gonna write that in this agenda so we don't forget it.
It's at the end of this Twins thing.
Oh, at the end of this one. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. John, defensive shifts. They're going to be limited. They're not allowed.
What is the rule? How are they going to limit it? The devil's in the details on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to make this up because I don't know. Two infielders on each side of second base as the pitch starts or something.
All right. I've been thinking a lot about this. I'm fully on record as saying I hate the idea of banning defensive shifts because the idea of a hitter being like, man, I want to hit the ball over there and there's a fielder standing there. That seems ridiculous to me. Uh-huh. But the one thing I think I will accept the more I think about it is saying, all right, you need to have four fielders when the pitch is thrown with at least 1 foot on the infield dirt. Take away the guy who's standing 200 feet from the plate in right field.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. I can get behind that. But the two people on each side of second base, I don't see. That seems dumb to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It's not really a hill that I think anybody really should die in. If you look at the numbers of batting average of balls in play over the years, even though these shifts look extreme when you're watching baseball, they actually haven't amounted to as much as you'd think. It's not like some of these guys who are dead pull hitters all of a sudden used to hit 300 and now hit a 170 or anything. It ends up being a little bit more on the margins than you'd think, which seems weird to me, but I think that's at least what I've seen. So I guess I'm with you, John. I don't really, it's one of those things too, where I feel like I agree on the problem, but not on the solution. I agree that the problem is there's not enough balls in play, but I don't think this is going to change a whole lot. It seems like a margin play again, 88 feet to 87 feet between bases, something like that.
Like you say, if we're going to do this, let's get stupid. Let's just get weird and introduce some stupid rule of, all right, now the batting team gets 5 at-bats a game. They can make the defensive team have 6 infielders and 1 outfielder.
I love that.
Stupid like that. Just idiotic.
It's very stupid. I love that, John. Well,
but if we're going to do something mildly stupid, let's at least do something really stupid.
As you know, for years, I've been on record of having this stupidest idea of, I think there should only be 8 fielders these days.
Right, that's fine. That's just really stupid. That's
really
fine.
Stupid. Okay, last one. Back to you, Chicken. And I'm pretty sure I know your vote on this one, but I just want to make sure. Pitch clock.
Yes, 1,000 rock hard bones. Just 80 Viagra. Yep.
At this point, I don't even want a pitch clock. I mean, the pitch clock that they always have is like 20 seconds between pitches and 2.5 minutes between innings or whatever. Let's really get serious about this. There's a 6-second pitch clock. Mm-hmm. And if there's a foul ball, you got to go pick up the foul ball and get it back to the pitcher in that 6 seconds, or it's a ball.
Oh, no. John Ryan stumbled on the way back to the mound. It's going to be a ball. It's ball four.
There's 12 seconds between innings. Any fielders who are still in between the foul lines when that 12 seconds are up are allowed to be beaten by the other team.
They get desperate and they have to do like fadeaway pitches just to run back to the mound, and they're going the opposite direction. And fuck it.
Pitching change? Well, bullpen guy, you better be standing right behind the mound.
You better be ready.
It's like a hockey
12
change.
Seconds until the next pitch. So good luck.
Yep.
Like move him to third base for one pitch just right beforehand, just in case, and hope the ball doesn't get hit to him so we can sprint down to the mound.
That's right. 6 seconds. That's it.
Love it. Okay. Actual lightning round. Over to you, Chicken.
All right. We have talked about two things. We have discussed how we don't know anybody in the Twins bullpen. We know very few, if any.
Yep.
We've also touched on Stu's love of politics.
Oh, no.
So we are going to play a quick lightning round game of is this a Twins candidate for the bullpen or a candidate for the late Jim Hagedorn's special election for Minnesota House of Representative District 1?
District 1. The okay. district we all know and love. I okay. definitely know what district that is.
I believe it's my district now. I think.
Yes, oh boy,
Rochester.
I think, oh no, it changed.
The Driftless area, Rochester.
Gerrymandering. I don't. I have no idea. I just made that part.
That's a great gerrymandering.
I have no idea. Yeah. All right, and with some of these Twins names, I'm going to take a few liberties with the first name because they are. Some of them might be. Kind of Hispanic, and obviously that means they're
gotcha.
A pitcher and not a
not living in Rochester,
not living in Rochester necessarily.
That's right.
Probably right. not.
Dan Colon.
That is a Twin.
That's right.
Now Joe guess their real name.
That's Danny Colon.
Danny. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Joe Moran.
Joe Moran is a politician.
Brad Finstead.
That is a politician.
That is the most that's the most Minnesota politician named ever. Brad Finstead, R. Wherever. R. Wanamingo.
Nick Vincent.
R. Walker.
Nick Vincent. Boy, that's a toughie.
Ooh.
That's actually an edgy indie film director that Brandon went and saw at South by Southwest in 2013. It was a thing about vampires who are also drug addicts.
They were so hot back then.
No, that's, I think that is a pitcher.
Ooh.
Oh crap!
That's correct.
Wow!
Richard Painter,
Dick Painter. That's Dick Painter. That is a politician. I know who Dick Painter is. There's
Charlie
a show title there.
Charlie Barnes.
Charlie Barnes is a pitcher.
Ian Gabeau,
pitcher. His dad was a cricket player, John.
Oh
but
wow!
Not as good as everyone thinks.
No.
Ken Nowitzki.
Ken Nowitzki, politician.
Gotta be.
Jeremy Munson.
Ooh.
Politician.
No way, really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, state legislator.
You're a genius.
Bob Carney.
Oh,
Bob Carney.
Boy, that's a toughie. I'm going to go politician, but I don't have a lot of confidence in it.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
You're killing us.
What a performance.
That was incredible.
Andrew Elbers.
Honestly, I don't even know right now. He could be a politician. I mean, I'd vote for him.
He moved to Manorville, you know.
I mean, his want to is, you know, I did it on the diamond. I can do it for you in the courts.
Mm-hmm. But Andy, you didn't do it on the diamond.
I know. No, I did it for a couple of seasons in the Korean League. No. You just weren't there.
We're going to secede from Kasson or simply Matterville now.
Wow.
Eat shit, Kasson.
Stu, that was an incredible performance. I will say, I didn't know any of them. Yeah, I don't think there was one of them. Yeah,
that was the wrong person to ask, probably.
No, you're right, but it was the right person to ask.
I'm sorry.
You definitely proved your point with the rest of us. We are fucked. And the Twins will be bad, too. Okay. Should we move on?
I guess there's a whole other team that we all follow way too much that is also in the midst of a overhaul.
Yeah, I don't know where to start with this one. This is, of course, the Minnesota Vikings.
Let me start here.
Please.
This segue.
Please.
Should we, and I'll pose it as a question, even though I don't like asking questions. I try to mind my own business. do we have concern that the new brain trust for the Vikings is in any way mirroring the Twins' brain trust. In that the Twins, I think everyone was hopeful that we transitioned from the old school Terry Ryan, Ron Gardenhire, old baseball men to these young wonks. Brandon loves wonks.
Oh, God.
They are East Coast educated, highly analytical wonks, young.
Coastal elites.
Yes. None of which, they were brought in specifically to develop pitching, none of which has panned out really in any meaningful way. Now the Vikings are transitioning from Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, who I don't, even their biggest proponents would say those are old school football men, and transitioning away to young, an offensive minded coach, a very young Princeton educated. I think he also went to Yale, maybe.
I'm sure.
It doesn't matter. A highly educated, young, highly analytical wonk. My position has always been, just because they're analytical and young and highly educated doesn't mean, so everybody in baseball is that now, right?
Yeah.
Every exec. Yep. So it doesn't mean they're good. They just need to be way better than everybody else. That was my biggest concern. And I don't know. It seems like it's maybe paying off. We just talked for an hour about how we can't figure out what the hell's going on with the Twins. There does not appear to be a plan. And if it is, it's suspect. Hopefully it pans out. Should we be concerned that the Vikings are going down the same path? The Twins pitching staff is no better than it ever was under Terry Ryan or Ron Gardenhire. This new Vikings front office isn't making any moves any different than what Rick Spielman would have done. They just re-signed Kirk Cousins. They signed a free agent defensive tackle. Like, they're doing exactly, like, if Rick Spielman had done this, he'd be like, oh yeah, that seems like something they would do.
Yep.
So that's my segue.
It's possible. I think in baseball, there was such a trend toward that it was almost like, if you don't have one of these wonks, you're fucked completely. There's no one succeeding right now in baseball. Maybe you could talk yourself into the Royals for a couple of those years, but for the most part, the nerds won in baseball, and the Polads realized it. And even those idiots who couldn't possibly care less were like, well, we got to get us a couple nerds ourselves. That's how it works. And they're like, well, these guys
love you,
seem...
Hans. We love you, Hans.
They're like, these guys seemed the nerdiest. Let's hire these two. And they did. They hired the nerds. And that was just the way it was. Football seems to be going that way, but not in the same exact... Like, it doesn't seem to be as blatant or as fast or as... I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be on the forefront as much. So it doesn't strike me as like a Polad move of like, let's get some guys who seem to have the broad strokes of what we're looking for and let's move on. Football hires a bunch of old guys all the time, and it works out. So it didn't seem to me like, oh, we got to get a young guy. We have to get a young offensive minded guy. So that makes me a little, not quite as nervous that these two are just hired because it's kind of the trendy move, but they fucking re-signed Kirk Cousins, so everything else doesn't matter at all. I don't care. I don't like them. I'm very angry. I will not be stop being upset until he's gone. That, I think, is my position right now. I've also had two beers.
One move I hadn't brought up was the hiring of Ed Donatell, like this old kind of dinosaur defensive coach that stuck 30 years ago. Again, a move that you'd be like, yeah, that seems like something Zimmer or Rick Spielman would do. And
I didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. Now I'm even more bummed. He's an old
Packer fans just laughing at us like he was an enormous failure over there.
What?
Yeah.
A Packer retread as our defensive coordinator?
A Packer failure.
When the Packers are laughing at you about a defensive coordinator, you know that you've gone pretty far down to the bottom.
It's gone sideways a little bit. Oof.
Like if they hired some young guy that was, the defensive D-backs specialist coach or something for Packers, and the Packers are like, aha, we don't even know who this guy is. Like, but you could say, well, maybe they know something we don't. Like maybe he's far more intelligent than it. He hasn't been given the power, something along the this guy ran it.
He had
the
power.
Given all the power, and they were bad. And he's old, and he's crusty, and like, what exactly are they doing that's any different than the previous regime?
Nothing.
I'll tell you what they're doing different. This is a fact that I got from the delightful Michael Rand Daily Delivery podcast with Patrick Gracie. They have 26 assistant coaches right now.
That's not true. 26.
They have 26 assistant coaches.
They don't have 26.
There are 53 guys on the roster. They have one coach for every two players.
That's dedicated. That is. Wow. That's some hands-on training. Maybe that's the thing now.
They got Greg Minuski back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can't think of the hardest thing to do with 26 assistant coaches. Well, the hardest thing to do would be to learn everybody's name. But the second hardest thing to do would be to come up with job titles for every one of those people.
Yeah. Or like, what are you doing all day? That stresses me out just in... I mean, one of those guys could just never show up. You wouldn't know.
Yeah. How would you ever know?
Hey, where's Dave? I don't fucking know.
It's so good they built that TCO Performance Center in Eagan. That many people wouldn't have fit in Eden Prairie.
They'd have storage containers out back.
Well, yeah.
Winter Park had 7 offices and Bud Grant had 2 of them.
Where's the defensive coordinator? Well, he works out of the Wi-Fi at Fuddruckers off of France.
It's not a good start. I was hoping for some chaos.
I was hoping you could talk me out of this. Now,
we're all with you on this. That's why you should be scared.
Well, they haven't had the number of moves, really. It's a small sample size. But I'm looking for something that's innovative or something that's like, okay, I see this direction they're going there. So far, it's like transitioning to a 3-4.
Well, they're still so hard against the cap. I don't know what they can do anything necessarily.
Well, they're hard up against cap. They just re-signed Kirk Cousins.
I know.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying like, so that's your move because you're hard up against the cap is to re-sign your highest paid player?
I wonder if they looked at this roster and this team's performance and their, DVO ranking and all the other bullshit, just a little bit beyond wins and losses, and said to themselves, this team is not that far away. They could be good. If we just work our magic around the margins, get a little bit better at late game situations or special teams or whatever, but for the most part, keep it fairly steady, we could turn 8-7 into, whatever it is, 9 and 8. That's where not were right. we? That's not right. Not that's definitely not 8 and 7. 9 and 8. 7 and 10.
9 and 8 sounds right.
8 and 9, 9 and 8. We could turn that into, I was going to say 11 and 7 is where I end the beers.
We could go from 8 and 7 to 11 and 7.
Sorry, that would be 7. Jesus. Like turn out a couple wins, you know, turn them into wins and talk ourselves into it. I was worried that they might think that, and now I'm more worried that they definitely do think that's the answer to success. Is again, you look at even the Rams, like they kind of stayed fairly steady over the years versus questions to blow it up. I really was hoping they wouldn't come to that conclusion, and I'm afraid that they may have, and I'm sad and bored simultaneously. You know, they'll get a offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or something in the draft and, you know, make a couple trades here and there and a couple cornerbacks, and then they just go in and it's the same team again. And they go, as we know, 7-4, and then they go 6-19, and just the regular, you know, the regular wins and losses that we know.
They're still going to be a team with no depth if they win those close games. So they get the 7th wild card spot and get boat raced by Carolina next year. I mean, that's, and I just don't know how you can expect a 34-year-old quarterback to suddenly become the MVP.
No,
none of it makes any sense. And it's just, yeah, I obviously you give them a little more rope than you give the boy geniuses, but it's not a great start. It's not, I mean, it's not great, but I mean, again, the cap is an issue for them, and they didn't help themselves by holding on to the quarterback who is the major cap issue for the entire fucking team.
Yeah. So they just don't hate him as much as all the fans do. I mean, obviously there was a couple of musical chair shuffles of quarterbacks last couple of weeks. Russell Wilson went to the AFC, and I think there may have been something else, and someone was like, hey, Kirk Cousins is now like legitimately the 5th best quarterback in the NFC. Now is the time to trade him. Well, the other conclusion you could make if you wanted to be these guys of like, we have the 5th best quarterback in the NFC, we should just keep him and run it back. And they just definitely are not as... They're more infatuated with him as every fan who's ever watched him.
Well, and
I don't know
if he's the 5th best quarterback, that's great, but the 6th best quarterback isn't that far away from him, and he's probably $32 million per year cheaper.
It's just the
juice isn't worth the squeeze, as we like to say in the biz.
It sure ain't, and we do. I'm in the biz.
The business of show.
Squeeze and biz.
The squeeze and biz.
Okay, there's a show title. Somebody write that one down.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the squeeze and biz. Oh, yeah. Okay. Is there any other, do you guys, I don't know if you have your finger on the pulse of the NFL, but is there any other looming chaos coming in with quarterbacks? Because I feel like there was, at the start of the season, it felt like there's a bunch of things that were going to happen.
So Deshaun Watson, I think.
That's
where will he land? That's probably the biggest one, right?
Watson's a big one. What about Jimmy Garoppolo?
That's fair.
What about Baker Mayfield?
To have Jimmy Garoppolo on their team.
What about Baker Mayfield? I mean, they're all shitty quarterbacks, but I kind of like that every year everything shuffles around a little bit. And I don't know if the musical chairs, I hope, haven't stopped, because I was definitely hoping for more.
Well, Watson's got to land somewhere.
And so you think that will kind of domino effect?
Yeah, and that's going to be like the messiest one. Obviously, all the stuff hanging over his head. Jimmy, he's also the best of the actual talent-wise. He just has more baggage than all the other guys.
I think he's going to go to Carolina.
That feels like the right thing for him.
I have some sources.
I did not look
at McArdle. No, God, he was a Jaguar. God damn it. I'm sorry.
Nice try.
I got to do better. I got to be Steve Smith is who I was Steve thinking Smith. Of. I apologize.
Yeah. Steve Smith.
I did not look at the Kirk signing all that closely. Does he have a no trade clause?
Yes.
I think that's right. They basically extended him for a year, helped their cap hit a little bit this year. So that was like what was good for the Vikings. But then what was bad for the Vikings was the no trade clause. And that is very bad for the Vikings.
It's not good at all.
Mm-mm.
Shit.
Nope. It's someone might come with, I mean,
nope.
Is the galaxy brain is the galaxy brain play here is that they're just going to tread water until Rodgers leaves Green Bay and there's no one in the Central to compete against.
Yeah, but that's 4 years from
cap hell.
I like your approach, right? But wouldn't the galaxy brain take in that scenario be get rid of Kirk now, build, spend your next two seasons building so that when Rodgers is gone, you are at your peak. Not that Kirk is gone. So maybe you draft the best quarterback in the draft this year.
I'm grasping here, man.
We're trying hard. I like the Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have like three first round picks this year. They went with some sort of Jalen Hurts, who was like exciting, maybe not the future, but like at least keep them competitive. That's a good model. The Miami Dolphins, they had like 1,000 picks. That would be a good model too. What we're doing ain't that. That's bad.
I don't know what we're doing. I think it's
status quo. I don't understand anything.
Mm-hmm. Change the coaching and the structure.
Yeah, and they were lost. They're talking themselves into that being the issue. Stu, you signed up for this real estate class and you will attend every second of this real estate class.
So they're going to make their moves this offseason, and by August we'll know who all the players are, blah, whatever. What I'm waiting for is Zimmer's first interview. That's really all I'm waiting for this offseason, is for Mike Zimmer to give his first tell-all.
Like a 60 minutes, a sit-down?
I don't want it. 60 minutes is too milquetoast.
Okay.
I want, like, Wendy Williams. I want, like, I want it to be fucking, like, just goofy. Yeah. Like,
he needs introducing Mike's, he walks on the stage. There's, like, music. Yes. There's, like, Journey playing in the background or some shit, like.
Flips over a table.
Yeah. Yep. He brings out like a bottle of vodka with Wendy, just as like, let's fucking do this, Wendy. You
punches,
and me.
Punches the grip, like the guy holding the microphone over the person's head. Yeah.
Cue cards, rips him in half.
Yep. I want a tell all. I want him to be like, I don't know, a third of a bottle of scotch in. Just enough where it's not slurring, but it's
his shoes are off. He's like, just socks are up on the, yeah.
I gotta say, if Mike Zimmer can drink a third of a bottle of scotch without slurring at all,
he can't. What are you fucking kidding? Mike Zimmer can. Absolutely. He can't manage a clock, but he can do that.
He can't remember not to call a timeout after the other team called a timeout. But
I mean, I have respect for anybody. I drank two beers and don't even know what 8 + 7 equals anymore. So. I'm getting old. Okay, so there were a little bit of purgatory with that team as well. Fair to say. Not good.
Yes. We're working through it. We're taking it one day at a time.
Oh, man. But Stu, you were so right. This salary cap, there's no fireworks coming this year.
No. But I mean, also, it doesn't, if you don't know what you're doing, a lot of cap room isn't necessarily great, because Jacksonville's just signing every third wide receiver, every like guy you got to fill out your fantasy roster with is on the Jacksonville Jaguars now for an incredible amount of money. Christian Kirk, the third wide receiver for Arizona, 4 years, $80 million.
Insanity. If Christian Kirk is like scratched right before the game, the line in Vegas moves 0.0 points. Nobody gives a shit if he plays or doesn't play.
If you need a receiver in week 8 of fantasy, Christian Kirk is always going to be there
at the top
of the waiver wire for you to get.
17% rostered for six straight years.
Yep. It's and they've like signed 7 other guys of that ilk. So no one knows anything. And I just
maybe trying to give Trevor Lawrence a chance. But I would think, again, we've only seen this happen for like 30 straight years. Maybe get some offensive linemen and don't worry so much about the skill guys. Do we know?
No one knows anything. Mm-hmm. It's just everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Should we move it along? I would like to know just what is happening with the Minnesota Wild. John?
Their goaltending sucks.
Right. Yes.
They're scoring roughly the same amount as they did when they were succeeding, correct? They're not like in a goal slump. Am I correct in that?
I went and looked it up because I went and looked at the fancy stats because I thought, well, maybe there's something else going on. At one point, they had the highest 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the league. And so I thought, well, maybe their luck has turned. Maybe, you know, mm-hmm. Marcus Foligno was shooting about 20% at one point, which is extremely high. And so I thought, well, maybe this is all turned. But still, 5-on-5, they're one of the better teams in the league. But their goaltending is garbage, and it has been for a month. And I guess the other thing that's going on is that their power play is also terrible. I don't think their penalty kill has been much good either, but really it's just the basic truth is that Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kähkönen have been among the worst goaltenders in the league. And it's very familiar feeling because Devan Dubnyk was the goalie for the Wild for 103 years. And every year they had maybe the best defense in the league and the worst regular goaltending in the league. God bless Devan Dubnyk, but it was just the same thing over and over again. And this very familiar.
Any solutions? What's any way out?
I mean, they could trade for a goaltender, I guess. Mm-hmm. That, I guess, is the solution.
They did make a trade today, John.
Yeah, they traded their fourth line center for a different fourth line center.
Nick Storm, 39% of his faceoffs, right?
Yeah. He's won. Yeah, that's almost half in his whole career.
Yeah, that's close to half.
Close to half. You know, not it's almost super 40%. Close, but
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand this trade they made today. But who was it? They traded somebody for Ian Cole. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember who they dumped for Ian Cole, but that worked out fine because Cole was good.
Craig Pattern.
Yeah, Pattern. Maybe this will turn into the same kind of thing because they dumped Pattern to the Avalanche, didn't they?
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be the same thing where
Jost does have more upside than Nico Sturm. Nico Sturm has wrung every ounce of talent out of his ability. That he has, that there's no additional ceiling. You're not going, Nico Sturm, boy, if he could just put it together, he's got all the tools. No, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he doesn't have hands, he works hard. That's it. That's his game, and that's what he does. Jost, I think, has a lot more upside. But his best position is left wing, and that is the Wild's deepest position. So what?
The Wild, they have three defensemen whose best position is left wing. They have 17 left wings on the roster.
That's something. I mean, you touched goaltending is the biggest issue. The next biggest issue is defense and their lack of depth. They've got Spurgeon and Brodin. Dumbo was hurt during this slide. He's just coming back. After that, Goligoski.
He really has been the key to how bad the defense has become.
Really fallen off. And then after that, there's an ocean. You can't see the horizon. Then there's Kulikov. And then there's a whole nother ocean. Can't see the horizon. Then there's John Merrill. And then ocean.
Who they inexplicably love. They love John Merrill.
I don't understand it. He goes out there and he's silly. He looks kind of, and he's supposed to be fun. He's missing teeth.
He better be hilarious because he's not great at acting.
Then there's a galaxy.
There's the distance. There's two light years. There's the distance to Alpha Centauri.
I'm following. Yep, I know exactly where we're at. Keep going.
And then there's Jordy Ben. There he is, standing on the Russian space station.
Forrest Gump wave.
You can't even say where Keelan Addison lives in this analogy because they refuse to give him any responsibility. They would just, there must be something about him they don't like. So it's defensive depth is what they're struggling with. And that's where I think they need to. So my overall point is the goaltending has been their weakest spot. Absolutely. But if there's any position in sports where suddenly somebody who sucks can become good, or somebody who's good can suddenly suck, it's hockey goaltending. Hmm. Like, you're not going to have, like, Nico Sturm isn't going to go score 40 goals. That's just not going to, he's not. It doesn't. But a goalie who sucks can suddenly become good. That happens. So that's the only hope.
Yeah. The hot goalie theory?
The hot goalie theory.
Well, wow. Yes.
Yeah. Never thought of it that way before. That might be it. That might be the key.
That's the whole.
Also, you have to, with Jost, you have to also understand there's also the change of scenery. Some people just need it.
Yeah, yeah.
The change of scenery in the hot goalie theory.
Ryan Hartman.
Locker room. Yeah. New locker room. Yeah.
Ryan Hartman. I mean, there's a Kevin Fiala, Ryan Hartman. Mm-hmm. There's multiple examples on this roster of the change of scenery theory.
Who's, yeah, I mean, who is Iowa's goalie right now, Chicken?
Fran McCaffrey.
Well, it was Hammond. And then he got traded to Montreal. So who is it now?
If only there was a way to.
That's a great.
I can't remember the name.
Such a nobody that I don't even know who it is.
It's not that Hunter Jones kid, is it?
It is. It's Hunter Jones.
Is it Hunter Jones?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, let's bring up Hunter Jones. It's time to shine, Hunter Jones. I know you're 19 years old or whatever.
I think they would rather go to that Wolstead than Hunter Jones. I don't think he's down there in Iowa making everybody big. For Hunter Jones in St. Paul. Otherwise, we'd have heard about it.
Right.
In my opinion, I think somebody would have said, hey, they would have started a movement.
All right, so we stay the course, and we hope a goalie gets hot.
And before the trade deadline, acquire some defensive depth.
How many days until the trade deadline?
21st, 6th.
Ooh,
the NHL trade deadline is great because it comes like a day and a half before the end of the season.
It's going to say
it really works out for
you. Oh, shoot, we got to have a trade deadline. Playoffs start
actually eliminated from the playoffs before the trade deadline.
We got to do something about that. Lauren, get over here. Gord, get over here.
Put it in, Gord.
Lauren, I like that.
Chicken, what do you think that I want you to give me a percentage chance that they trade for Marc-Andre Fleury?
5.
Little lower than I was thinking. I was thinking like 11.
I think Bill Guerin is going to be very, very hesitant to give up a first round draft pick, and that's what it will take.
Right.
And I don't think Fleury's been much better than Talbot or Kakinen, so it's not like he's some sort of savior, but I think there's just as good a chance that Talbot or Kakinen turn it around as Fleury. He hasn't been there. Down there, so
all right.
You would only want to give up a first round draft pick for somebody you are 95% sure, 95% certain is gonna do the job. And I don't know that you have that certainty with his stats.
And they're on the bright side, they're boned in their conference if they don't. I mean, they're it's a tough conference. All of their playoff matchups are deadly, right?
And they've been poor against all of those potential matchups. They're like 1-6 or something against those matchups this season.
They want to be here.
It's not like
God damn it.
Which is why I think I could see them like making a big old splash, like two giant moves, not just one. And nobody thinks it's going to happen, but who would have thought he would have bought out Parisi and Suter?
Right.
And then he went and did it. So this is a guy that does stuff nobody's expected.
Do you want to hear my silver lining for the Wild in their future?
That's all lining. I want to hear.
Here we go. So either this year or next year, I can't remember, the Wild have a compensation pick coming their way that I think it's either between the first and the second round or in the second round, because Paul Fenton's draft pick was so terrible, they're never going to sign him, and they're going to get a different pick back just because he's never going to play in the NHL.
Not Johansson.
I love that rule.
I think it's this year.
Draft. Yeah. It was such a bad draft pick. They spent their first rounder on a Swedish defenseman that even like even like Sweden's World Juniors team was were like, he's not actually on our radar. He's the perfect age. This is the age he should be, but he's not really going to be on our team.
I feel like yeah, I remember
he just wants
this.
To be in Lars von Trier movies.
yeah.
He only uses natural light in his student films. He has interest in hockey whatsoever.
How long ago was this? I feel like we talked about this and there were you guys were like, this guy fucking sucks. Ago. Right?
It was your brother-in-law drafting a kicker first round in his fantasy football draft. Everybody's like, what?
So when you look at draft picks, the Wild have got an extra one coming their way just for suffering for the last few years from that terrible pick.
You know what's a good silver lining when it takes like 17 minutes to explain what's actually happening? It's all we got right now.
It's all we got.
Do you want to play our famous game where I ask you what Hockey Reference says their percentage chance of winning the Stanley Cup?
All right, let's do it.
Jonathan is giving us a 2%.
I'll say 9.
It's right in the middle, 4.3. 4.3%. That was, yes, Stu accidentally was on.
Ask
mute.
Mr. Puck, that is where I was going to land.
So. Yeah. He texted me that exact thing. He just said, he wanted to give you guys a chance. He knew it.
I am curious how far it's gone down during this skit because there were articles being written in publications that were on the internet and not just the disreputable websites that we like, but like. Like good websites with fact checkers that said the Wild were really good this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, it's just a bummer. They were so fun to watch. Now they're not fun.
That's true.
They're sad.
That's true.
I'm sad.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Okay. Should we move on to the most stable franchise? Locally,
but at least we got the Timberwolves, everybody.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
This. None of this makes any sense at all.
What are you people thinking?
The least none amount of drama, the most stable, steady Eddie. You can set your watch to these guys.
Don't do this.
Competent. No drama. Nothing messy. Sense. Zero chaos.
So scared right now.
Walk away.
You tune in and you expect to see a competent team, and you know what you get. You get a competent team and a well-played game. Crisp. Well-coached. They like each other. All of it's happening. Our Minnesota Timberwolves.
I can't understand it. I don't understand anything that's happening.
Every night. They just are pretty good.
Happening.
Just all season. They're just pretty good. They lose a couple. They win a couple. They all get along.
Pat Bev is just taking the t-shirt cannon and shooting t-shirts to the kids in the crowd.
During a game, playing in the game grabs a t-shirt cannon and fires him off into the upper deck. And it was just, it's just good, clean fun.
Carl Anthony Towns is burying the best coach in NBA history.
He scored 60 points. He scored 32 points in one quarter. They kept guarding. They never put a different guy on me. He's like, I guess I'll score every time. And you know what? He went and did it. He's the most clumsy looking human being I've ever seen in my life. Flailing elbows. He looks like Elaine dancing, but on a basketball court, and somehow makes every shot. It is all happening. Chicken.
None of it makes sense.
Can I bother you for a comment on this one? Oh, yeah. He's just been shaking his head.
Are they? So after all this success, they are so fantastic. What place are they in?
Seventh place out of 15.
Yeah. The look on Chicken's face is exactly the look that he would have if one of us was like, well, we're going to have another intervention for Brandon.
Yeah. I was going to say the look on his face is the exact look when I told my stepdad I was going to spend all my money on putting some subwoofers into my car when I was in high school. I was like, I'm going to get a couple 12s in the back. And then I might get some pretty good 6x9s in the front, you know, for a little more treble. And he just like shaking his head, like not really judgmental, just kind of sad. Like, I get it. I think I probably was at one point as dumb as you. I don't remember it. I don't know that I was, but it's possible that I was. It's just a sympathetic. Yeah.
I have a follow-up question, Brandon. Did you put those speakers into your car?
I did.
Second follow-up question. What kind of car was it?
It was a 1991 Mazda Protege.
Third follow up question. Have you always been this awesome, or did it just start then?
That was it. That really unlocked some stuff for me as a human. No, they blew out. They were cheap. They were aftermarket. I got totally screwed. And he was right. I should not have thought that that was a good idea. They were like, I don't even know what Craigslist was back in 1999, but I somehow had found some, maybe it was, must have been like somebody's older brother or something was selling some, and they blew out.
Which Sublime song blew them out?
It was Same in the End, song number 4 on there.
I really
loved that one.
Yeah. You're gonna have that.
No, it was a lot of Twista and Do or Die. I don't know. This is a deep cut.
Twista is a very deep cut.
yeah. Bad music and bad dumb idea. That was the look that we just got from Chicken Fingers right here when we were talking about how happy we were. But competence, man, it's pretty incredible to see.
Yeah, it's not understandable by people mm-mm. who follow the team or just people who are familiar with the team's history. None of this makes sense.
No. Right. And the coach is just a very good, smart, no frills, basic.
Like when they ate shit against Orlando, the worst team in the NBA, then they turned around and beat the best team in the East in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that shit does not happen. That is not normal.
They're just putting in the work, you know, shoulder to the wheel. Nose to the grindstone.
I'm trying to think of a hot goalie theory for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I just can't. My brain can't make it work.
They're just doing it. The dirty work.
I don't understand anything. I'm all just a Twitter. None of it scans.
It is
none of it works.
As a community, we need to come together here and. I just want to send out the following request to all people who, for one reason or another, may be at a Minnesota United game. If you see any Timberwolves or Timberwolves executives or head coach Chris, if they're at the game, please find some friends, find security, find whoever you can, and escort them out of there. And
pull the fire alarm.
You don't want to be here. You don't want any part of this.
Whichever companions they might have, don't try to establish whether it's their wife or not. Just get them out of there. Nothing good's going to happen. We've been down this road before.
Sachin Gupta, I don't know why you're here. You got to go, man. I don't care if you're alone, if you're on like a field trip with your kids at school. I don't give a shit. You got to go, buddy.
I don't care how much you love this game. Nothing good is going to happen here.
Watch it on TV, pal.
Yep. Go on home. It's on TV today.
Okay, so I know it's going to end poorly. It's the Timberwolves.
Well, yeah,
I will just say...
Continue.
It's the first time in a very long time where I don't know, and maybe, John, you can help me out with this as a diehard.
Mm-hmm.
They were good a few years ago in the Thibodeau era with Jimmy Butler. And while it was happening, we said, this sucks. I'm glad that they're good. I like some of the young guys. Tibbs is an absolute pain in the ass. Jimmy Butler, we know, is not going to be here very long. We know exactly how this one's going to end. We know how this is going to go south. I'm just saying right now, I would love your opinion on predicting how this one's going to go south. This is the hardest it's been able to see in many years. Obviously, we can say, well, Anthony Edwards is going to spontaneously combust very soon. He'll just be blown to smithereens in some weird way. And Karl-Anthony Towns at that point maybe they'll get into a car accident with each other. I mean, but they're all pretty weird ways. Right now, it's all kind of classically set up as a team who's going to be good for a while. The coach is not like 90 years old. So that's not an obvious one. The front office is not, I guess maybe they could hire a really shitty front office person above our friend Sachin. But John, we know it's going to go bad. Can you explain to me how?
All right, here we go. The Nuggets and the Mavericks are going to win the remainder of their games. They're already pretty much on
as they've been doing. Yeah.
They win every game they play. The Timberwolves have been doing fine, but they can't pick up any ground on the teams they're competing with to stay out of the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. So the Timberwolves will end up in a play-in game against the Clippers, the only other semi-competent team below the sixth seed in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. They've already lost to the Clippers a number of times. They'll lose to the Clippers again.
They'll get pounded by the Clippers because the Clippers will have Kawhi Leonard back or Paul George back or both or something or other. And we'll be very excited. We'll be hosting this game. And you and I, John, know we have actually truly seen this game a couple of times this year. Every time we play the Los Angeles Clippers, they beat us by 50 fucking points.
Yeah,
they destroy us.
83.
It is the most embarrassing thing in the whole entire world. I do know that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to happen.
Yep.
And then they're going to come up into a do or die play in game against the Los Angeles Lakers, who at that point will be 29-53, the worst team ever to make the playoffs.
They lose every game by 30 points. And then LeBron scores 55 points and they win by two. That's the only options right now. He has the best game of his life and they win by two, or a regular game and they lose by 30. There's never been a more miserable collection of human beings playing basketball together than this year's Los Angeles Lakers. Do or die game, us against them. What happens then?
Then the Timberwolves lose to the Lakers and this whole thing burns to the ground.
No,
that's how this ends.
Okay. That's how this season ends. I'm guessing I'm asking, like, even if that shit happens, and we're kind of joking, but it's not even like an unrealistic thing. And it actually wouldn't even be a terrible thing to lose the Clippers, who are good, or to lose to the Lakers, who have AD back. And even though they're a disaster, he's fucking amazing. And it's one game and it's LeBron and AD who are awesome. Even that sort of worst case scenario ending to the year still feels like, yeah, you know, other teams got hot. We were still good and competent and had a lot of fun this year. I'm wondering if you think, how is this all going to go bad? Like this whole run of this crew?
Well, I mean, this is, for 2 years, I have been banging the drum that I want this to work, the Timberwolves to work for this specific collection of players, because I like all of them. I like all of these players. And it's easy to have sort of this family vibe where everybody loves each other in the middle of a season, but you've got a lot of talented players down this roster, Jalen Noel, or even like Naz Reid, who have enough talent that they don't have to accept playing, you know, those guys will play, they'll play 21 minutes one night and then they'll play 0 minutes the next night because Finch is doing a pretty good job of keeping everybody engaged and everybody's getting a chance to play. But at some point, a lot of those guys are going to be looking for bigger roles, and it's just going to sort of collapse from within, it feels like. Like, Pat Bev is signed for next year, but he's just going to be 1 year older, 1 year grumpier.
Yeah.
It feels like it needs to work right now, or it's not going to work at all. Maybe that's just because I've been pulling so hard for it to work for 2 years that now that it's happening, I'm so excited about it right now, and also already pre-fearful about what's going to happen later.
My takeaway from that is it's not going to work because you want it to work so badly. And I think you're right. Yeah. That's right. It's because of you, John.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been utterly amazing over about the past month, because we've been talking on this podcast for 2 years about how, you know, I've been saying ridiculous things like I wouldn't trade Jared Vanderbilt for Ben Simmons under any circumstances, not even straight up.
Yeah.
And because I like Jared Vanderbilt so much and I want him to succeed and I want the Timberwolves to win and I want everyone to love them. And this has been a ridiculous take for almost that entire time. And then suddenly over the last month, everyone is like, I love everybody on this team. Uh-huh. This is really fun. I really like everybody. And it's like, it's happening the way I wanted it to happen. And I know that can't last.
Yeah, you're right. It can't, because at some point right now, there's not really any expectations on a lot of these guys. And pretty soon there will be, and contracts. And again, Jalen Noel thinks he deserves more playing time. And Anthony Edwards is shooting the ball too much. And whoever else, D'Lo is getting mad about it and all that. And it just kind of implodes from expectations. So
even like D'Lo, all the smart guys were like, man, D'Lo is the worst. And then there was me and you out there going, actually, D'Lo is the best, and we love him.
We love D'Lo.
Everyone said, this is stupid. And now even the smart guys are coming around and they're like, you know, D'Lo is actually a really important part of this team. They need D'Lo on this team. And finally,
He looks like a dad out there. He's so slow. Doesn't never sprints. Barely even gets into a jog, but makes all of his old man shots, bank shots and shit. It's great.
He's like, if he stands up straight, he's 7'4", but he's just slouching all the time.
Yeah. Tippin starts. He's checking his phone.
Yeah.
All right. Puts it in his. He has pockets in his shorts for some reason. Super right. Weird.
His keys are always jangling around. And
wearing blue jeans underneath his uniform shorts.
Oh man. Okay. I think you're right. That does make the most sense. I mean, I know it'll go bad, but
yeah,
it has been. It is the most fun 7C that's ever existed.
And Chicken has brought this up on Twitter before. The Timberwolves fans who have stuck through all of this to get to this. You beautiful souls. I don't know.
We talked ourselves into it again. Unbelievable.
I don't know how. Because I know they're all waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. But and like as with the NHL, this is a loaded conference.
Yeah.
They're fucked. There's no way they're going to get beyond the first round.
From everything I can hear, they are everything that's gone well, the reasons why you love them, this is so fragile. Like anything beyond a whisper will just tear this thing apart. It's if your guy, Pat Beverly or whatever, if he gets injured, like today, it's over. It's done. It's, you come up with these convoluted things. No, all it takes is like one guy.
Chicken, one of the last night, Cat went for 60, and then one of their best players, one of their best role players, Jaden McDaniel, twisted his ankle with 42 seconds left. And he's off for 2 weeks minimum.
Carried off the court.
Yep, off for 2 weeks minimum. That's
you really want to say it out loud. You want
it's right there. It's right there.
It is fragile.
It's so fragile.
It's like people it's like all of like Brittany Griner's people saying, "Hey, don't talk about this shit. Rush is going to hold her for ransom." And then everyone's like, "Oh, Brittany Griner." And then it's like, "God damn it. Shut up.
Pretend we don't care. Don't say her name.
Just pretend you don't even have to pretend to hate women's basketball. All of you hate women's basketball. We know that.
Easy. Should come natural to you.
Yes.
Oh. They're so close to a sixth seed is, you know, they're seventh right now. They're most likely not going to get it because their teams are hot, but a sixth seed would be incredible because they would play the three seed. And even if they lose, it would just be fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can see it. Ah, it's so close.
It's so close. It's right there.
I want to take this time to ask for your patience and your care from all of you who are wondering why we are so loving and protective towards a team with the 12th best record in the league.
It's fascinating to me. It's
they're the 12th best team in the league, and keep their names out of your filthy mouth.
Without any baggage, you would think though that they're, because they're so young, they're little babies, they're little children out there running. Without the Timberwolves baggage, if this was the Indiana Pacers or something, you'd be like, holy shit, this is going to be the next team. This is it. We saw it happen with so many at Golden State and Oklahoma City and all these like young teams who we knew were going to get good, and they got good. All those teams did the linear sort of progression as you'd expect. It ain't going to happen for us. I just don't know how.
And that's the thing. It's just like with the Wild. They were so fun to watch the first two thirds of the season. Just cold, so goalie. Fun. Just you know, flying all over the ice. Iverson would pull the goalie halfway through the second period and win just to prove something. I don't know what.
I mean, there was 5 years worth of dramatic victories that happened in half of a season for the Wild, right?
Yeah.
Every other night was some insane, as you were talking about, pulling the goalie, coming back for three goals down. Man, it was
just
fire wagon in a way.
The whole fire wagon.
All the fire wagons.
There was fire wagons upon fire wagons. It was like infinite fire wagons.
Wagons all the way down.
Yeah. And like in the Timberwolves have been the same way. Just fun. They've been enjoyable to watch. Unlike the entire Vikings season, both the Wild and Timberwolves have been absolutely worth whatever. If you can find Bally Sports North on any platform, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Legally, I don't. There's no legal means in which to find that network.
God, I fucking hate that app so much. I stole my
five different ways for Bally and it never works.
It's so horseshit.
Oh, yeah. So I stole it from my buddies. He has got cable. And so I got him to set up an online account or whatever. And he sent me his login. And it worked for a few weeks. It was great. I mean, when it worked, you know, a lot of times it would just kick me out or whatever. And then I log in. The other night it goes, connect to watch. And Chicken, you know this. Every once in a while, you got to re-log in every 2 weeks or something. And I put in the username and the password. And I did the little eyeball thing where you can see the password just to make sure, because you got to. And I pressed connect, and I was right. And I pressed connect, and it said, "You've tried too many times. You're locked out. You have to change your password." Like, what? Well, I tried the one time, and it was correct. What did you want me to do in this scenario, Bally Sports app?
It's the frustrating part was the Fox Sports North app was perfect. It worked. It was simple. It worked every time, perfectly. No glitches. No hangups. It was. What 3 years ago, like it's technology that's 3 years old, which in technological terms, it might as well be 300 years old.
Right.
Right.
But it was perfect. And they changed it to something that doesn't work at all. Mm-mm. So my point is they own something. They obviously own the rights to that app, the Fox Sports North app. Just go back to it. Like, what are these meetings that they're having? Nope. We're just going to keep plugging along. You have something that works. Why would you keep? They're not making changes to the Bally app. They just keep plugging along with this piece of shit. They got to be getting complaints up the ass every day. They're getting 400 a day from me.
31% of our users are not able to see it. They get kicked out every time.
Everyone agrees that this sucks.
Yes.
I mean, you can try those like janky internet feeds that are from like Belarus. And you know, you get pop-ups that are all like, you know, showing you images that are like, you know, testing the elasticity of the human rectum, and you're just trying to watch a fucking hockey game.
That's too long for a title, but that's I wish that could be.
I apologize. That was the third beer. I apologize.
Oh my god, it is so unbelievably frustrating though.
That I think is my overriding point, is how much fun both of those team seasons have been. And again, the recent run for the Wild has sucked, but by and large, incredibly fun and entertaining hockey, incredibly fun and entertaining basketball. And we're all terrified of how it's going to end, because we know it's going to end badly. And it sucks. Because I wanted to. I so very bad. I just wanted
so,
to.
I'm so happy for you.
I don't give a shit which team. I want one of the teams to like just get to the second fucking round.
Yeah, totally.
That's all
second
I want.
Round
just one of the teams.
Incredible.
Second round. That's mm-hmm. all I want.
They're not. It's not. They're not going to like.
Well, I know this, Chicken. I want it to change.
I just want it to happen. Oh man, could you imagine a second round? Like,
oh,
you go to like parties, right?
Yes.
Someone goes, "We're watching the game at my place. Come over and watch it with me." You pound two
TJ
dozen beers.
Left two for ones the whole game.
That was quite a long pause in between. You pound.
Your buddy's wife, because you're having so much fun.
She's into it. Her name's Audrey.
You pound Audrey in the second.
You guys are. Like, from a sociological standpoint, you mm-hmm. remaining Timberwolves fans are fascinated. It's like stumbling upon a tribe in in Indonesia that's mm-hmm. still fighting World War II. And right. they're like, "No, we got it. It's mm-hmm. the Axis. Mm-hmm. We've got it this time." And you're like, "No, it's you don't. It's over." Sociologically, it's fascinating.
Well, it's funny because there are fans who were long suffering that saw it all pay off after so many years, the Red Sox, the Cubs. And it's very funny to be like, well, we could be like that. It's like, yeah, but those guys, that was a successful franchise, though. Like, you know, they've won a lot. Mm-hmm. They were just very close and just barely missed.
Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
No,
that you're not even close. Wish we were the Red Sox. The Red Sox, the pre-2004 Red Sox, that'd be the greatest thing to ever happen to the Timberwolves, to like have heartbreaking losses that mattered. Could you imagine
mm-hmm.
a game having stakes?
I think they may not be now with the 40 wins or whatever you got, but they were the least successful franchise in professional sports history.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like winning percentage. statistically the most losing any franchise has ever had, ever. Least successful ever.
Yeah. Wow. That sucks.
It all sucks.
Well, this year has been very fun. Sustainable success. John, I guarantee it.
Fascinating.
John, 90 seconds on the Minnesota United. Go.
Yeah.
Well, they came into the season. They had road games at Philadelphia and against the New York Red Bulls and a home game against Nashville. And coming into the season, you looked at that schedule and thought, it's possible that they could end up with 1 point or no points out of that run. Philadelphia and New York are both tough places to go, decent teams that are going to play well. And instead, they got a win and two draws. They haven't lost a game yet. That's a pretty good result for them. I think they haven't played particularly well. Their defense has been awfully good, and that is still sort of a sticking point for Minnesota United, that their defense has been good for 3-4 years now, but there's still a lot of residual pain based on their defense for the first couple of years they were in MLS. Their defense has been good. Their offense has really struggled. They really are not connecting very well yet. Their best player, Emmanuel Reynoso, had a terrible game on Sunday. I don't quite know what's happening there. He had some offseason trouble as well, so maybe that's still a hangover affecting him. But the schedule is going to ease up a little bit, but there's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference this year, so they got an uphill battle.
But why does every professional sports league put all the good teams in the Western Conference?
That's I don't know. There's,
why do they put Minnesota in the Western Conference? Because we're clearly an East-West hybrid.
It is amazing that there's probably four teams in MLS that are complete, total smoldering tire fires, and they are all in the Eastern Conference. So
yeah.
Was that less than a minute and a half? I was really talking fast.
That was good
to try to get into the 90 seconds.
Big win on Sunday. Is that right, John? Am I remembering right?
Yep.
Huge win.
They stole one on Sunday.
Right.
Hot goalie theory.
Not afraid. It's not illegal to steal one. Have your goalie steal one.
Hot goalie.
Talbot.
That's why they play the game.
Before we started the podcast, Chicken called Dane St. Clair Yves St. Laurent, which I'm never going to not think of. So I got that to carry around with me. They play San Jose this week. They have to win. San Jose is a very bad team.
All right. There we go. Sounds good. John, good update. Fellas, great a update. Lot of fun. I'm going to stop recording now. Goodbye, everybody.
Great ending.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.